maybe.
Falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's all right. A rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia, it seems like it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night.
Oh, there you go. James is on video now.
Distant morning, yeah, I got Facebook Live. The train
seems to play a sad
I'm being
refrain.
Enlightened.
That's a good thing.
Brooke Benton, Rainy Night in Georgia. You on Facebook Live, you can't really hear it. But,
Rainy night in Georgia.
Who else recorded this?
There's another artist. There was another artist, but I don't remember.
In Georgia.
I'm sure we got the archives going.
Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world.
It's raining all over the world. Brooke Benton.
I feel like it's raining all over the world. How many times I wondered. It still comes out the same. No matter how you look at it or think of it, it's life, and you just got to play the game. I find me a place in a boxcar, so I take my guitar to pass some time. Late at night, when it's hard to rest, I hold your picture to my chest, and I feel fine. But it's a rainy night in Georgia. I feel it's raining all over the world. Kinda lonely though, and it's raining all over the world. Oh, have you ever been lonely, people, and you feel that it was raining all over this man's world? You're talking about raining, 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 raining over.
Yeah, that's Brooke Benton. I'm listening to. I know you all on Facebook Live. Well, tuning in right now to Enlightened Radio. You know, John, enlightened. I was enlightened a great deal this morning at a political debate, rally, whatever.
Yeah.
I want to shout out to my son. He can't really hear the music that was playing, but that was one of my favorites, Rayshon, when I was in Vietnam. And I would play that tune just to make myself cry and moan. So you got to look up Brooke Benton, A Rainy Night in Georgia, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But good morning and welcome to Recovery Radio. We're down in beautiful Bolivar, West Virginia. And it's been a very interesting week for me. So our subject this morning, we're going to be talking about politics and drug addiction. How can the two coexist? How can they get along with one another? And I'm really getting enlightened. But here's the thing I want to open up with, and I'm going to ask John to kind of help me out with this. If you want to listen right now live, if you want to listen to Recovery Radio, you need to be enlightened. And I'm going to give you that website.
www.enlightenradio.org. That's not enlightened, but enlightened.
I'm glad you stressed
that. E-L-I-G-H-T-E-N-R-A-D-I-O.
Give him the phone number. Give him the phone number.
And if you want to call and chat with us, you can call 304-885-0708. Mm-hmm. That's 304-885-0708. And listening to us is easy. If you just go to the enlightenedradio.org, there's, I think on the top of every page, there's a player. Mm-hmm. And you just click on the play little arrow thing, and you should be able to hear us with almost no delay at all. Yeah. The internet is very fast these days.
It is. So,
there you go.
Yeah, internet is very, very fast and very powerful. And that's what we're trying to do here on Recovery Radio, John. We want people to get involved and to take a stand and, you know, just we're going to kick this opioid addiction in the butt. But it's political. I mean, it is being politicized on so many different levels. And because I have a platform that I got, with the help of a lot of good people here in West Virginia, Berkeley County, you know, and I'm venturing out. I had a very exciting last week, and I'm going to fill you in on what we're doing on Recovery Radio and within the recovery community. I'm a recovery coach now. I don't really know what the certifications are all about because that really wasn't my objective, and I'll figure the paperwork out sooner or later. But I'm very happy that the country as a whole, even though there's a lot of discrepancies and there's a lot of people using, putting stuff under microscopes and coming out with the wrong answer still, that's going on. But what I am so enlightened about, that's www.enlightenradio.org, and get with the program. So, what I'm so happy about is that the country is actually talking about this pestilence out in the open. And so when you address something in the open with the help of everybody, you know, whether negative, positive, right or wrong, when you address it, it sheds light by virtue. Light is shined on a problem. And I think that the Bible talks about the light entered in, and no, the darkness could not comprehend the light. It entered in, it could not comprehend. And I looked that word up in the Greek, and I think it means to arrest. You know, the darkness cannot arrest the light. Now let that marinate a little bit. But yeah, so my week was pretty interesting. I'm going to start off by saying that I had opportunity to talk to one of the many judges that have the drug addiction cases in their courtroom, child abuse, child neglect, everything that goes along with being addicted to substance. And I had opportunity to speak with her, Judge Faircloth, very wonderfully listening lady. And I am so absolutely thrilled at the fact that the American public at the judicial level here in Berkeley County is finally listening. I heard one of the judges listen, and she allowed me to tell my story. And it had an impact because she can hear us finally, that we do recover, that we are worth something, even though there is so much opposition against the whole idea that drug addiction is not some moral imperfection, that it is, in fact, a disease. And that's my stance on it. If you want to have a conversation with me about that and just offer your opinions, your advice, or your concerns, John, would you give us that phone number again to call?
304-885-0708.
There you go. And you can call in and voice your opinion. I'm waiting here at Joanne Christian. Joanne Strider Christian, and I appreciate you tuning in, Joanne. A lot of support from Joanne and Callahan's Counseling and all the people up there that do the work that they do. And so I am just so thrilled at the many opportunities that I've gotten to speak not only to the situation, but to speak to the cure for the situation, to be some sort of I don't know, poster child around here. And I like the idea because for so many years of my active addiction, you know, I stayed in darkness all the time. And I bought into the idea that I was going to, you know, just die suffering with the abscess on my body from injecting myself with substance abuse. But, you know, my sponsor saw fit to keep me here to do the work that I'm doing. And I'm absolutely just thrilled to be able to sit and talk with a judge in her private courtroom. She locked the doors and had the bailiffs and everybody allow me time at the podium to speak my truth, you know, and how I came by that truth, and how, you know, I'm able to stand on that truth and to kind of be a highlighter, if you will, to people who are still struggling and suffering with addiction. So moving on from that, this morning I went to a political forum where candidates are running for different positions here in political positions in Berkeley and Jefferson County. And, you know, big shout out to the moderators of that, WRNR Radio. They did a really good job, and the questions and answers. And so I mean, I'm really kind of thrilled at the idea that I'm even willing to go to places like that and insert myself and you know, just rub shoulders with my neighbors and find out exactly what's going on. Because for many years, and that is one of the things that I find with addiction, you don't get involved, you get uninvolved. That's why we need to shine a light on it, because you have no choice but to be involved when you're in light. You know, the light, by virtue of that word, means that you are involved. You are involved as a light. So let the light shine. But yeah, this morning, all the candidates, and I won't name them all fine people, I'm sure. And, you know, I tell you, one candidate that impressed me a lot is Sammy Brown, Samantha Brown. And, you know, she is a hard hitter, and she's a beast. in that arena, you know, I mean, and
I think she calls her dad the bear,
yeah. in that arena, you know. And I take, you know, experience has its place, and longevity has its place, you know. And so we should learn from longevity and experience. We should learn, and I think that's what gives Sammy the power that
she did a good job.
She did an excellent job.
Okay.
She did an excellent job. But, you know, and I look at the folks who are doing things now and running things, and people who are keep getting elected over and over and over, and I look at them and I say, you know, kudos to them, but it's time to move aside. And because Sammy Brown, she got fire. And there's a,
yeah, and she's got energy, yeah.
And she got energy. And so, you know, I can't vote in this district, but I'm getting a little tongue-tied, John. Forgive me. I can't vote in this area, but my spirit is with her.
No, I'm right. She's not in mine either, actually. She's in the Charlestown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, so that was your meteorites going off over there. And you know, the moderators, they did an excellent job. So I take my hat off that. And the whole place, the whole atmosphere was very informational. It was very well organized. It was very well done. So wow. they get a 10.
Did they ask questions? What was the most difficult question they asked?
But it was about the schools. Education was one of the hot topics. And Rockwool, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and
where were all the candidates on that? I know where Sammy is on that, but yeah. I mean, where were the other candidates?
Basically, they were tiptoeing around the idea of protocol, and you know, it was just the environment was not on the top of that whole thing. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rockwool is basically about the environment. And I know one of the topics was the jobs.
Right.
Yeah, it needs to be West Virginia jobs. I think Sammy Stark, she got really intense when it came to that, because she's all about the community. I see, you know.
Well, how are you going to impose a restriction that they only hire people from West Virginia?
I don't know.
You're in a tri-state area. I mean, how do you do that?
How do you do that?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Okay, maybe there's a way. But
yeah. Yeah. But I think that for people, politics and addiction, if you're running around here and not paying attention and your family is being affected, which everybody's family is being affected, opioids was one of the hot topics in the room. You know, that's why I was just so thankful that I got in there and I videoed it Facebook Live. You can go.
I mean, for example, I've been so hammered by Dr. Aldous here, you know, about medically assisted and counseling. Yeah. Between Zaki and Dr. Aldous, I mean, I've been like injected with, you know, this is the solution or this is certainly part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And so how do they line up on that at all?
Well, it wasn't that specific because this was really quick for all the candidates. There was no question and answer. And the moderators didn't put that question to them like that. So it didn't even get discussed in those kinds of details. But I can tell you here on Recovery Radio, we need to, you know, I was thinking because I was looking at WRNR this morning, they have a real radio station. I said, well, we're going to have enlightened radio and then we're going to have us a big antenna and we're going to get this thing right because... You know, we should have that footprint, and I understand that it takes finances, it takes the people, just like they were saying this morning. It should be people driven, and I like the lady. I don't want to say her name and jack it up. She was the librarian, and she's running for. I think she's probably in Berkeley County, though. That's why you don't.
Oh yeah, I don't. Not ringing the bell.
Well, anyway, so I'm going to put a list of the candidates that I prefer, and you can like it or lump it.
There you go. Okay, I exercise my right to vote. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so I mean, getting back to addiction, this is an opportunity for people who have been. You know, basically, I don't know whether I did addiction to myself, you know, because I elected to get high, you know what I mean? So when I started using drugs, a lot of the chemicals that people are ingesting now did not obviously hook me the way it did. Even though I guess take 30 years for me to get that hook out, I guess it did hook me, whatever I was using. Took me 30 years to get the hook out of me, but I'm here, and I'm here to tell you that you can have the kind of life that you want to have because there's light being shed on this problem. And, there's a lot of blame to go around, but I don't have enough energy to start really blaming people. If somebody owe me something, God will make sure I get it. I don't know. I'm just so glad to be alive and not being able to hide in the shadow or have to hide in the shadows no more surrounding because my past is exactly where it should be, behind me. You know, and I'd like to say that, you know, I get involved because I need to get involved and because this affects me. My sponsor tells me all the time, just use what you got. What do you have? What have I given you so that you can use it to serve me? And so that's what I try to do. So what do I have? Well, let me tell you one thing that I do have that's right at the top of my list right now that was not at the top of my list a few years back. And that is 30 years of chaotic drug use that had me in a nosedive, and now with the help of the community and with the help of all the advocates, with the help of all the people who are shining a bright light on this kind of behavior and this pestilence and people being jailed for having something, you know, they don't put people in jail for having cancer, but I nosedive up out of it, and so that is what I have. That's what I'm bringing to the table, and I'd like to talk about it. I'd like to, you know, be part of a solution and try and find something that people can gravitate to help feed their families, and I mean, just do all manner of things. And we are our brother's keepers and our sister's keepers. That's how I feel about that. So yeah, anything. But so my thing this morning, John, was that the candidates and everybody in the political arena, everybody's, you know, I see people running. They're running. Most of the time, they're running so fast that they run right by the solutions. You know, that's right before you, right, you know.
Like, now, these are people running for state delegate? How about state senate? Were they there, too?
No, they weren't there.
State delegate. How about county council and commissions? No. So this is really state.
They were there, but I didn't see them.
This is really state delegates mostly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was pretty.
Did Householder show up?
Yeah, he was there.
What a...
Well.
Oh, my God.
I know. So we're going to have to go into the music archives to quell out. If you could see John's face right now, he's sitting up. Yeah, because he's my political guy. Man. Yeah. Keeps me grounded. Yeah, so I enjoyed listening, and there's a couple of young guys. They had a lot of fire. But here's the thing that I'm learning about politics and making promises. They have this expiration date on them. Like, so election day is November 6th, right?
Is it? I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, and the expiration date seems to be November 7th in a lot of cases. And I, you know, and so that's why it's important to get out and meet your candidates and figure out what's going on, because if you don't really know what they stand on and they're representing you, then you're walking in the blind all the time. You know,
I think, you know, it's tough because there has to be a little more education of folks about, you know, what's actually at stake. I mean, a lot of the things about promises is that if you have in your mind what the state's basic economics are, well, then you have a way to determine whether or not it's all feet firmly planted in midair stuff, or whether it's serious. Mm-hmm. And of course, every politician wants to spend their aspirations, right, in a way that connects with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard. You're not going to talk about it doing that, okay? Right. But on the other hand, for the educated public, it is the most powerful thing. I mean, if they can become educated, mm-hmm. at least a little more, but it's very difficult to get people in poverty mm-hmm. to pay attention to something past next week.
Yeah.
It really is. And I learned this from organizing in lots of low-paid industries, at least in some places like California, that if you can't get very far from what's in the paycheck next week.
You can't.
And I suppose that you just double that down for people that are unemployed or addicted or, you know, have been in and out of the prison system and can't get jobs. I mean, you just double down all the way for every one of these conditions. But even people that are working regular, but they're working, you know, it doesn't matter. The end of the week's pay, they owe more than they got paid.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
They got $5 in their pockets and $50 they owe.
Let me offer you something. We could have somebody with a paintbrush. One of the interesting things I find about people and the word pay, and you just said pay attention. So as soon as you use that word pay, people start ducking for cover, getting under tables, running for the hills, because they don't even know.
It's a bill collector.
It's a bill collector. They won't even pay attention. And so.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. So pay attention. You don't have to come out of your pocket to do that. You know, you just got to give some time, man, and come and listen, because you learn a lot. And I mean, I'm sure everybody knows that. Yeah, Rayshon Wick said, that's my son. Hey, son, how you doing, man? I love you, son. Rayshon Wick said, I'm proud of you and I love you, father. I know addiction is a never-ending fight. You're doing great. Hey, son, you know what? And I heard your requests and I talked to some people. We want to get a thing started in your community, and because we need to reach across this whole United States with the idea that you can get people to stop. We need to start getting people to stay stopped. Stay stopped. That's the word. That's the word I always use. I stand on it. How do you stay stopped? And it happens so rapidly once you begin to stay stopped that you'll have a little over 8,000 days is what I like to say. But I say it in jest right now. I guess I'm burning them out with that. A little over 8,000 days, because that's what the judge, she really liked when I said that, because once you unwrap it, people are not intimidated by you. You take down the judgment finger. You know, in the community of addiction and substance abuse and staying stopped and all the support groups and everything you go to, there is a culture, a division that automatically seeps into these places, even where you're supposed to be safe. In a recovery meeting, one set is being judgmental against the other, and the other is being angry at the judgments being passed against them, and you know they're not taking any responsibility. You re-victimize yourself by even buying into that idea. Create a clean and wholesome pattern of behavior for yourself individually. You don't have to subscribe to something because it works for another individual. God made us separately, and He gave everybody whatever it is that you need to get in a situation where you can live a good, wholesome. And wholesome and healthy doesn't always mean dollars and cent, even though, you know, sometimes it feel like that's right up there with air and water. The finances. That's why people are so afraid when you say pay. I want you to pay attention. Tune in to www.enlightened. John is teaching me how to enunciate like that.
Enlightened. Radio.
Yeah, radio.org, O-R-G. Just get on board and talk to me. Hit me up with some questions.
Oh, your phone is ringing,
yeah,
James.
Yeah, my phone is ringing. And so you can hear that. I'm gonna let it ring and then I'll kill it one more time because I'm gonna tell you about that phone call. I recognize the number. What I'm doing now, and I could really use some help with it, is that I have sort of a pipeline. No, I have an intranet. That's what I want to call it, an intranet of communication into the jails, into the prison system, and back out into the community by way of help, not handcuffs. And so there's a process that you have to go through, really, with the lawyers and everybody to get people into some kind of treatment programs. And I'm trying to put together a group of people who can have a soft handoff. You know, if I take care of one level of your transition or your journey to recovery, or to a rehab center from jail, that is a pipeline. That is something that we need to do, and it has to be funded and it has to be mapped out. So I'm kind of excited about, where I fit into the dynamics of that, because the recovery coaches are really making an impact in this community. That whole idea of someone being there for someone else when they're struggling with addiction. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, John. I think we're about...
No, you got...
I got plenty of time going on. That means I got to keep rallying. I love it. You know what I'm going to do, John? Because I ran into Stuart yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was telling Stuart I wanted to read one of his poems.
Okay.
Yeah, and he gave me one of his books.
Well, he just got it published, I believe. Yeah. So
I was looking at it, and I'm so proud of him. And you know, he was there this morning.
Stuart, that's good.
And he always shows up, and he has things. But let me read this. Stuart writes, "The power that pulls us to one another, ancient, mystical, divine, swells and wells in our deepest desires to celebrate our common humanity and to look for the light in one another, to look for the love in one another. We were not born to negotiate our way alone, but to join our strength, to pool the poor power of one into our commonality, to spend our spirits in search of the souls of one another. It is not weakness to say I need you, but the ultimate sources of our strength. The ultimate sources of our strength. Now, that is a togetherness poem. And my friend Stuart Acuff.
He claims there's only one Acuff family in the country.
Yeah, he has an interesting...
And that Roy Acuff is one of them.
Who is Roy Acuff?
Remember, he was an old country guitarist. He was a fancy guitarist in country music going way back in...
Can you find one of his songs?
Late 60s and... Roy Acuff? Oh, I imagine we could, yeah. We can want to close with a Roy Acuff today.
Yeah, let's close with a Roy Acuff so we can, kind of honor Stuart. But Stuart is a great... advocate, for equality in our community, and so he's out there. If you see Stuart, those of you that know him, I'm not gonna post his picture all over the place because sometimes people get, I don't know, social media. Everybody got.
He used to be the top organizing director, for the FL-CIO nationally.
I know. Yeah. I read his bio. Yeah, very interesting people. Yeah. And since I got clean and started doing things, Like Pastor said in church last week, he said that, I forget the person in the scripture he was talking about, that he came to himself. Might have been Paul in jail. Jail will make you come to yourself. I think I must have, when I got clean, when I stopped running around like a madman, I must have came to myself. So, and in my sobriety, there's always two types of things, good things and bad things. And bad things are going to come because my sponsor says that man that is born of a woman is but for a few days and full of trouble. The last parts of a lot of scripture really impact me, man. My sponsors pop me in the back of the head and make me want to cry sometimes, but he keeps me going, man. And I love him for it. But... yeah, the people that I meet in the community, Berkeley and Jefferson County, has just been really wonderful in terms of, how to forgive and how to move on, keep it moving. I mean, you got some people that are just stuck. If you think about it in terms of rust, something that's rusty, it used to be really, really good, but now it's stuck. And so you got to do something to it to get it to move. And if you can't get it to move, you probably cut it off. Is that an analogy that I should be, especially in this climate? People say, might say he's talking about cutting people on his show. We shouldn't listen to it. But no, that's not what I was talking about. I was just talking about being kind to one another. And if you see, just like Muhammad Ali, I don't think he should have fought that last fight. Anybody got any objections to that?
Which was the last fight?
When he got beat up so bad? It was time for, he should have got off the, out of boxing.
It's tough, man, when you get the, on top to let go.
Yeah, some of the politicians, they I'm sure everybody has done something good in terms of,
he looked like he had, he got Parkinson's, right? It was partly from head injuries,
Head injuries, and, some of the bumps and hits that some of these untruths tellers have been taking, they should have head injuries. If they got Parkinson's, they still leading us around. We got to get rid of the rustiness. Don't just put it out somewhere to pasture, I guess. I don't know. Let it do something else, but not the leadership part. And that's what I find in our Berkeley and Jefferson County. There's a lot of old thinking fogies running stuff. It's like... We're in the two centuries behind everybody else. That's what I see. It's almost like when I go from Winchester back to Martinsburg, it's like if I spend the whole day in Winchester, it's like coming back in time for me. And so I think that is the idea that the infrastructure of Martinsburg and Charlestown Well, I like Charlestown a little better than I do Martinsburg in terms of social.
Well, it's smaller and it's got the racetrack, and that's probably the.
But I don't, you know, I've been here 15 years, and I think I've been to the racetrack twice. I didn't play the pony, somebody else played it, but I enjoyed the ambiance, enjoyed standing out there having a good time with family. But that wasn't one of the attractions for me for West Virginia. You know, it was the rolling hills, the countryside, the everybody waving at you and saying hi and go ahead and everything. But
I think there's a problem in the country with maybe there's always been, but there it seems more aggravated now. You got small towns and rural towns. They keep falling farther behind economically. Cities, or at least. You know, they're not the same opportunities as there are in the city. Now, the cities also have, you know, like vast inequality as well. But you know, the median is higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man right in the middle, yeah. You know, is higher out than out here. Okay. And so it's interesting, right? For example, Jefferson County has a lot of very, you know, strong views on maintaining the environment and. I'm sure that's what's behind the opposition to Rockwool.
Rockwool, yeah.
But you know, most of the people who make most of the noise about this are people that have incomes and are retired or who are here with some income behind them, because the median income in Jefferson County is personal income is below the net is what. It's about $27,000-$28,000 a year. That's median.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's below what Rockwell's starting pay is going to be.
That is below that, and then something. A lot of people.
Now that means don't that that means that more than half the county is making less than their starting pay.
And so, how do you sell that to somebody, to a bunch of people?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, seriously, this is my fault. That all the people making less than median, they're making less than what twenty some thousand dollars a year. That's about that's down about $13-$14 an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, say $14 an hour, 2,080 hours. You're sitting there right around $27,000-$28,000 a year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right, that's before taxes.
Yeah.
That's not disposable income. That's before taxes, right? And that, you know. But nonetheless, there you are, okay? Now, lifestyle, as you head down below that median, you can start at 27 and think one thing. When you get down to, you know, like the people making $9 an hour, that's most of the fast food workers, 9 and 10, something like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're in a country where you can't pay your bills. And someone says, well, why don't you remember to vote and to come out to all these events?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, well, I will as soon as I find something to eat,
Right.
Uh-huh. And so I think they're not talking.
No.
The fact that every one of them would take a job at Rockwell if they were offered one.
Right, exactly.
Is just sort of forgotten, because all the people that are opposing it who like the Green Party, and you know, hey. I mean, they vote too. I understand, but it's probably a problem that's there in many rural areas.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I agree.
What do you do? You know, it's like in West Virginia, it's tough because you say, well, there should be an alternative, like you know, better paying, clean jobs. Well, you know, those are jobs like software jobs or. High-tech jobs. I mean, I'm sorry, the West Virginia educational system is not producing those kind of workers much.
Yeah. You know,
and if you're in suppose you want to suppose you're Google and you want to locate a big facility here in Jefferson County, you know, where's the workforce going to come from?
Where's it going to come from? That's right.
I need people that have degrees in computer science and not only that, a whole bunch of other things, you know, and you know, where am I going to get that, okay, if I come to your county where, you know, you can't even raise any money for your education system unless the entire state of West Virginia does, and the entire state of West Virginia doesn't have any money.
Doesn't have any money.
Except for whatever gets out of the ground, you know, so that there you're sort of sitting between a rock and a hard place, and along comes Rockwool, and one group gets all upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... And then they turn around. I keep asking everybody, hey, what's the standard that says yay, oh, that can come in, or nay, or nay, that stays out. You know, I mean, it's not a state or a federal. What is the standard, okay? And I'm sure it's a little different for everybody, but...
That was one of the big issues this morning that they were kicking around. And the other one was that...
Who supported... The Republicans must be supporting it. I mean, they're the ones cut the deal.
Oh, yeah.
So they were talking about the jobs?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were talking about stuff that didn't have anything to do with what you were talking about, equality or, you know... In other words, the reason that I don't know what they were talking about, because it was probably all...
It might have been...
But what I wanted to say about the whole financial thing with me and my family, because, I feel bad because I'm doing okay in terms of... Because of my veteran status. You know, it's like, okay, he's eating, he's paying his bills and everything, and he doesn't work. You know, it's just kind of rough in West Virginia, and I'm seeing so much poverty that you almost feel bad because you're healthy here in West Virginia. You know, it really is, because I don't work hard and I maintain a pretty good lifestyle because I'm my veteran status, but I'm seeing out in the field, I'm seeing so much poverty.
If you don't do something about poverty, I don't see how you can fix other things.
Right.
I just don't see how you can do it. Suppose you create all kinds of great rules, you know, for a clean environment, but you got a bunch of people that. Well, gee, I would love to install an energy efficient heating appliance in my house, but I have to have dinner. Okay. So nothing's going to happen on that front. Yeah. You know, you're just leaving all those people, and you leave a bunch of people behind, and then depending on the kind of appeal, like a racist appeal, for example, you peel off a bunch of the white folks that feel like they've been losing out, and why should they pay for, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you can get other kinds of appeals too that run the gamut. I mean, there's a lot of things that can keep you from focusing on everything except getting some out of poverty. And
it's very, I'm really getting an eyeful, but.
I don't believe getting out of poverty is a complete solution to drug addiction.
But it'll help. It'll certainly give people an opportunity to relax and say, okay, I don't have to worry about somebody coming over here and cutting off my lights and stuff. But, I can remember going through that for many years when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, people sharing electricity. But that was poverty. But because I guess I was so young and everything... My mom worried about all that stuff.
Yeah.
But here I am now, this adult, a couple of times over, and I'm beginning to see that there's too many poor people running up and down the streets trying to make a living, trying to make it from one month to the next.
Yeah.
And they're creating ways to support themselves. And unfortunately, one of the ways that has been around for a long time is drug distribution, narcotics.
Yeah.
It ain't nobody running around dealing turkeys. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody doing that because the addiction problem that we have is so insidious that it gets you thinking that getting high is more important than eating a turkey. So you're going to get the turkey, and you're taking him, and you sell him if somebody's giving. Because we used to do government cheese. I don't know if you remember that era. When we black people would go to a line and get a big loaf of cheese.
Reagan cheese, we called it. Cheese. Yeah, right. Oh, it was, yeah.
So, yeah. But, it's just so much poverty. But for me, John, I have to figure out how to really stay focused on what my objective is. Because when I go to these political forums, I want to question whether I am getting out of my lane or... And the answer came back with a resounding no. And but then
no, I think you've been bringing the right message. I mean, and a personal one that people it has a lot of credibility.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody's got a vision or a theory, I mean, they can always test it against your life, yeah, see whether it works.
Now, see, credibility. That's a can of worms that I've been grappling over because I'm so anxious about the credibility piece in terms of the leadership in the fight against opioid addiction. Some of the resumes from some of the leadership has not been vetted. If I can say that,
yeah,
and you know, and I welcome because I think that would be a part of a reparation for me, because years and years and years ago, you know, I got a hold to some heroin in my community, and I went out to lunch. I like to say at age 14, and I didn't get back until I was 45, and I was like, "What the heck happened to all the middle of my life?" But
well,
so that's the way.
It's a powerful story.
Reparations for me would be let's do some, because we want to put together an elite operation of people who can walk with people into an arena, into a kind of thinking that says, okay, no matter what, I'm going to stay stopped. So if you're going to be part of like the Green Beret, because I'm military, I'm going to go ahead and use those analogies, or Special Forces or SEAL team in recovery. That's the kind of people that I'm experienced enough to.
Do you miss the military at all? Not minus the war?
No. Because I remember the good times in the military, and I don't miss that because I was always on the losing end of my behavior. But no, I don't. I got what I was supposed to get from it, and it was ingrained in me. Like, I still know my military serial number, and I got it in 1968, and it's RA117-65692. And now they use Social Security numbers.
Oh, they
but when
do?
I went in, it was your serial
number. Military number.
RA meant that you joined, volunteered. That's the RA. And then if you were drafted, it was a U.S. number. That meant that you had gotten drafted. Well, I was a RA. And I also remember my prison number after I finished becoming an RA. Can't answer right now. Sorry. And that's 99681. Now, those behaviors and those things were put,
sure,
they were ingrained in me. And so now I have an opportunity to use that for something good, the way
right.
I look at it.
Right.
But sometimes I say, well, this is a political situation. It's not only it's a health crisis. It is also the health crisis is wrapped up in politics. And politics is wrapped up in money, you know. And so the economic starvation that we're being subjected to all across this country is something that is a match that ignites addiction in a lot of instances because
right.
It's about poverty. Oh man, I am such a popular guy here. But I'm sorry, I can't talk.
Well,
right now.
You're closing in on yeah. 50 minutes.
Yeah,
if you wanted
yeah.
to.
So yeah, I'm gonna end it. Let's find that song and we're gonna talk again, man. I really
will.
Enjoy
yeah, now this is we want to find the which one was it again? The
Stewart's uncle.
Oh, Stewart's Roy Acuff. Okay,
that's his uncle.
Well, I you know now Stewart is a little mysterious about that
yeah,
one, but he's
yeah. he has a really
but he is very
story.
Strong on the mm-hmm. fact that there is only one Acuff family and only one Acuff immigrated right. from wherever they came from, and you know he claims that he and Roy got to be the same. So
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You know, now
he
wasn't. Now he wasn't high when he said that to me. So it could be another union yeah. propaganda. I don't know,
yeah.
but I think it's true.
Yeah.
Roy Acuff. Well, let's see if we can do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Roy. Justice is our love in action, by.
Well,
Stuart
okay.
Acuff. Yeah, by Roy.
Here we have a.
Hold on. Hey.
Okay, here we'll have Roy Acuff.
Robin Spotlight, a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this is Roy Acuff doing Wabash Cannonball.
Roy Acuff. Wabash.
Atlantic Ocean to the wild.
Pacific. Yeah, we'll catch y'all next week.
From the queen of flowing mountains to the south belt by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome.
He looks skinnier than than Stewart, but
she combination of cannonball.
Although Stewart looks pretty good these days. He's taking good care of himself.
From Birmingham one cold December day. As you roll into the station.
Stewart, I'm gonna let Stewart know today when I see him.
There's a girl from Tennessee.
I was listening to his family, Mr. Acuff.
She came down to Birmingham on the Wabash Cannonball.
Wabash Cannonball.
Our eastern states are dandies, so the people always say.
Sing
from
it.
New York to St. Louis and Chicago, by the way. From the hills of Minnesota where the rippling waters fall. No changes can be taken on.
Look at that haircut. Wabash
Cannonball. Here's to Daddy Claxton, may his name forever stand, and always be remembered round the courts of Alabama. His earthly race is over and the curtains round him fall. We'll carry him home to victory on the Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar, as she glides along the woodland, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear that lonesome hobo's call. You're traveling through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball.
Thank you. These clips are great.